Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 260 on May 18th, 2020. Changing the world one ass at a time. My mission here at Pegging Paradise Podcasts is first and foremost to spread the word about pegging. I offer you accurate information to dispel the common myths and misconceptions. Basically, I spread the knowledge so that you can get onto the thrill of spreading your cheeks or your partner's. Another part of my mission is encouraging you to explore your out-of-the-box sexual interests without shame or embarrassment. Shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction. Don't let it stop you from delving into the world of pegging and any other consensual, safe kink that calls to you. The journey can be exhilarating, breathtaking, and life-changing. If you'd like to support this mission, become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging aficionados from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of monthly support include written and audio erotica to titillate and instigate. Click the orange Become a Patron button on my website. You can also make a yearly one-time donation and receive the same benefits as a monthly patron. Just click the blue Donate button. Another way to support my work is by shopping at Entice Me, the little black dress of pleasure products. Head over to Entice Me and peruse a meticulously curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys, specifically chosen for your thrills and satisfaction. For 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RYDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. Need help figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you? I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me, and you'll be supporting my mission of spreading cheeks around the world. Okay. Hey, everybody. I hope you're doing okay, surviving, managing to find a modicum of happiness, satisfaction, and pleasure in this strange world we find ourselves in, trying to balance between lockdown and opening up. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like we're living out the live metaphor of opening up our sexualities, you know? Lock it down so that everybody's okay and you get accepted and you're all right. And opening up and exploring. The only thing is that comparison doesn't work at all because opening up sexually is a fucking amazing thing. Opening up with this situation, not so amazing. And I know that you're all there trying to make your best decisions about what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And I wish you all well. I don't have the answers. All I have are the answers for myself. And for myself, I'm still hanging out. I was supposed to go down to Mexico and have a checkup on my teeth. But when I checked the news, Tijuana has been hit really hard down there. And it just seemed like a bad idea to go. I talked to the dentist on the phone and told him how everything was doing, how it was feeling and looking. And he gave me the okay to stay home and delay my appointment. Although, you know, I'm kind of thinking that things are going to get worse before they get better down there. I don't know. Mexico actually stopped selling alcohol. I kid you not. They stopped selling alcohol. When I was talking to the lovely young lady who is the office manager down there, I asked her what that was about. And she said, well, Mexicans love to drink, and when they drink, they gather. We all gather in big groups. So they want to stop people from doing that, but they also want to stop people from spending what little money they have on alcohol instead of food. So yes, a little bit more wildness down in Mexico than I would prefer and that I am used to. And even though the dentist down there is taking every precaution for their patients, the idea of sitting in a car for about an hour and a quarter or an hour and a half in both directions trying to get over that border did not sit well with me. So here I am, and I'm feeling fine, and my teeth are feeling fine, and I'm trying to get this podcast recorded before the neighbor's children come to the pool. I have taught a couple of webinars that coincided with the timing of the kids coming over to the pool. And it's not the same time every day, so I never really know when it's going to be happening. And it is a very strange sensation to be teaching a webinar about learning to fuck guys in the ass with a strap on, and there's sounds of children laughing and playing and screaming, shrieking with delight in the background. It's just a little weird. So yes, I'm trying to get this recorded before they head over to the pool today. I've blown it 2 days in a row, been ready to do the podcast, and then did a couple of things ahead of time, and then all of a sudden the pool noise starts up. I've done podcasts with people in the pool before, but today my goal is to record it before anybody gets there. So I'm going to dive right in because I have all kinds of messages from you guys. This is a private message I got on Reddit. Is it okay for a sub to be genuinely weak as a person? Weak as in low confidence, low self-esteem and worth, insecure around stronger women, intimidated by stronger women, genuine inclinations for female supremacy and matriarchy, feminine, wimpy, spineless doormat, seeking dynamics where he is abused, basically a slave mindset in bed and outside, physically very weak. All of that, and then an unwillingness to grow out of it. He's accepted the inferiority complex. He's happy and satisfied. He has no ambition or intention to grow out of it. That's the first question. The second question is, does age difference and size difference have a psychological impact on the dynamics? Okay, as to the first question, basically all I can do is to give you my response to that. I cannot answer for all dominant women. I can't answer for all submissive men. I can't answer for the BDSM or dominant submissive community at large. But what you're describing to me sounds like someone who has given up in life, and it sounds really sad to me. In terms of craving to be abused, that word abuse can sort of be interchangeable or used in a different context when you're talking about the BDSM world. In other words, abuse can be she ties me down, she beats me. That can be called abuse. Also, verbal humiliation and degradation can be called abuse. So if that's what you're talking in terms of abuse, there are a lot of styles of different BDSM relationships that have those factors in them because those are kinks that get people off. But all the other stuff that you were describing to me basically makes it feel like this person you're describing is a burden, that they've given up in life, and basically they want someone to take care of them, to do everything for them, to not expect anything out of them in exchange for being able to abuse them. And that I would disagree with 100%. You made a point of saying an unwillingness to grow out of it, and that is the indicator that made me think this person has given up entirely, just totally given up. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in a female-led relationship. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be quote-unquote abused in the manners that I described in a consensual negotiated relationship. But the vast majority of dominant women that you encounter will not want someone who is like a child that they have to take care of and do everything for and expect nothing from. That's a burden. That's totally a burden. Self-sufficiency is really important in this world. So I would have to say, no, in my world, it's not okay for a sub to be that way. You know, the words genuinely weak as a person, you took a lot of effort to describe this and gave me a lot of adjectives and descriptors. And there's a few in there that I would really not be okay with, like a doormat or spineless. No, I think it's very important to know your worth as a person and to feel value in that. If there is so much self-hatred and perhaps shame inside this person that they have given up and now they're trying to create a situation in which that giving up is okay, no, I'm not down with that one. Definitely not. So, he's happy and satisfied, you say. I have a really hard time believing that. Because there are some things in life that bring happiness and satisfaction. One of them is productivity. You know, one of them is to be proud of yourself, to know that you are a good person, as opposed to thinking you're basically a piece of shit. So perhaps I don't have the proper perspective, and perhaps there are people out there that think, no, that's totally fine. But to me, it sounds like a ton of work from my position. If I were with a partner like that, it would be way too much work. As to your second question, does age difference and size difference have a psychological impact on the dynamics? Oh, absolutely it can. Sort of the older, wiser partner. There's a whole lot of reasons that people are attracted to an older partner. And size difference plays in too. You know, the tall woman and the smaller man, sure, that can have a psychological impact on the dynamics and affect it, absolutely. And in a fun way too. Sometimes it's really fun to think of the bigger, older person doing whatever they want with you, those kind of fantasies. So yeah, that is definitely a factor. So I hope I've answered your question satisfactorily. I'm not sure what you were trying to get at with the first question, but I answered it the best I could. And that's all I can do is give you my response. The person that you describe in your question, I guess I have one more thing to say. So the person you describe in your question seems to have so much self-loathing that I really would take issue with you saying they are totally satisfied in that dynamic that you describe. I think that they're hiding, and I think that there's issues that they probably need some therapy. So that would be my Ruby Junior psychologist answer. So good luck to you, and thanks for the questions. Okay, here is another message I got on Reddit. Sex is never as simple as one would have thought. Once I did let my wife know about pegging, we started to talk about sex. We got comfortable about the idea, and something that was once taboo became a normal part of our life. I still love to be pegged, but this is something that she does just for me. I mean that she likes to do it because it gives me the best orgasms, and she can tell that, but she gets nothing physical from it. Instead, regular PIV is something that we both enjoy, so the emotional implications are far superior for us. When pegging still was a taboo for me, I guess that made it so much more compelling. But now it is something I look forward to with less frequency. For me, once a month is enough. After that, I start to really look forward to it. If my wife could get something more from pegging in my ideal world, I would be getting pegged 50% of our sexual encounters. I'm legitimately curious about what other people are going through when pegging becomes normal. I also truly want pegging becoming something standard and mainstream. The more people get exposed to this information, the quicker this could become a reality. I would love to stop hiding that my wife fucks me when we don't need to hide that I fuck her. It's even implied, as in any other couple/marriage. Wouldn't it be awesome when you start dating someone if it had to be negotiated beforehand who fucks whom the first time? I love that idea. And I totally hear your desire to not want to have to hide it. Wouldn't that be nice? And I'm definitely working towards that, to normalize it. And I laugh when I say this next part, and to take the taboo away from it. But some people really get excited by the taboo. And I've heard them say that before when I say, well, I really want to normalize it and take away the taboo. And they're like, no, the taboo is the exciting part. I understand that. But at the same time, so much damage is done by people feeling shame about their sexual activities if they do pegging, feeling like they have to hide it from people, feeling like they're somehow different and strange and weird and wrong. And even if you can sit with yourself and let all that go and explore pegging and feel totally fine about it, wouldn't it still be even better if you didn't feel like you had to hide it? I mean, people in the United States don't walk around talking about sex a lot. But for the people who do talk about it or hint about it or make funny comments about it, wouldn't it be cool if pegging was something that could fit into that category as well? Just an off-the-cuff, sidelong comment, and not have people totally freak out. I am with you 100% on that. The other stuff that you talked about in your message applies to this whole concept of when guys start pegging, they really want to do it a lot, and sometimes after a while they do it a whole lot less. And I had some Ruby Junior psychology thoughts about that, which basically had to do with like the man box, and you have to be masculine and manly, and and strong and in control so long, so much of the time, like all the time, that when you finally discover an activity that allows you to be receptive and vulnerable and open, that the balance is what you crave. So you want to do that a lot because you're striving for that balance. But, you know, that whole Ruby Junior psychologist theory really didn't take other factors into consideration, namely, how much does your partner like it? Do they like it a lot? Do they get a lot out of it? Or do they just kind of do it because they know you love it? And that's a huge factor because, right as you stated, if you could, if she got more out of it and she loved it as much as you do, you'd be doing it 50% of the time. But now, what you really want is that emotional connection, that emotional satisfaction of the connection of coming together, and that you get that more from PIV because she's really into it too. So yes, what you're craving is not just the balance, perhaps, of the masculine and feminine type of stuff, but that emotional connection. That's fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for the letter. Oh, and before I walk away from this one, verbally, yes, I think that would be absolutely amazing if when you start a relationship with somebody, it had to be negotiated beforehand who fucks whom the first time. I mean, that's the way it is with gay men. So yes, if they do anal sex. So yeah, I think that would be absolutely amazing. It would certainly save me a lot of time. Okay. My next one is a private message I got on Facebook, and the guy asked me, can I ask you a question? And I said, absolutely, as long as it's not about me. And so here's his question. First, he said, laugh out loud, that was funny. And then he said, I want my woman to take me. She tries, but is gentle. I want her to take me forcefully until I scream her name, but she doesn't. What should I do? Okay, so a couple things are happening here, more than likely. One is that your partner is new to pegging. Okay, so that confidence and that assertiveness with knowing exactly what you're doing with that equipment really isn't there because she hasn't had a cock her whole life, right? So that's going to take some time to learn. But beyond that, use your words. Basically, sit down with her at a relaxed time that is not when you're in bed, she doesn't have that harness on, and she's getting ready to fuck you. Maybe have whatever you do to relax, whether it's a little smoke or a little drink or go exercise or whatever you do. And then have a conversation with her and tell her, you know, this whole pegging thing, thank you so much for doing this with me and exploring this with me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this and how much I'm enjoying it. And there is a way in which I would love for you to take me sort of a little bit more aggressively, you know, and what does that look like to me? It looks like you grabbing me and pulling my hips really hard or just really kind of slamming into me with that toy. And please trust me that I will tell you if anything hurts. You do not need to fear hurting me, but I really want to be fucked as opposed to made love to see what that feels like. I mean, this whole pegging thing is so exciting, and I want to feel what it's like to be taken and sort of mercilessly, if you will. So if there's any way I could help you do that, I mean, I know it's kind of an athletic event, so positions maybe that would be better or something like that, but that's what I'm craving. And I felt like I needed to tell you that because I can hope that you're going to do it every time, but of course it's a whole lot more effective if I actually tell you what I'm thinking. So there you go. That's an example script with two cups of coffee in the morning on a Saturday. You get the point. I kind of went on there for a while, but use your words. And when you use your words, don't just say, I'm really kind of wanting you to be more forceful. No, elaborate. Tell her what you fantasize about. Describe the position that you're in. Describe what she's doing and maybe what she's saying if that's part of your fantasy. The more clear you can translate your fantasy to words and tell her and describe her what you want, the better chance you have of her doing that. And if you're afraid that part of it is something that will offend her or maybe part of your fantasy is being called names or something, I don't know, then approach that part carefully. You know, you could say, well, I even fantasize sometimes that you call me a slut or a bitch. And I mean, I don't know if that's okay with you. That's just something in my fantasy. And you don't have to do it, but how do you feel about that? That's how you approach it. That way, you make your partner feel safe, whatever response they have, as opposed to like leaning heavily into the hoping that they're going to do exactly what you say. You can explain all about when you're fantasizing and then say, so how do you feel about that? Is that something you're willing to explore with me? Because I would love it. So everything that I've talked about so far regarding this situation, if you'll notice, has been about you talking to her about what you want. Also take note that her side of it is really, really important. For example, not only might she be a little afraid to pound into you because she might be afraid of hurting you, but imagine this. What if she's got equipment that doesn't fit quite right? What if the base of that dildo is going right on her pubic bone? And if she slams into you, it's just fucking uncomfortable. It hurts. This is something you need to address as well. So while you're talking about all this, be curious and be questioning about how she feels about the whole thing. You know, you can just ask her and say, you know, are you okay with the equipment that we have? Is it comfortable for you? Do you like it? Do you want something more sexy? You know, I want you to be really comfortable and happy. So let me know if any of it is something that you just don't want to do or don't like or would want to be different. And that's why I'm telling you, is because there's something I would like to experience. So please feel free to tell me your side of it too. I want to know. And at that point in time, you should be off to the races. Good luck, and please let us know how it goes. I am hoping you get pounded like you want to be. Thanks for the question. Here is another private message I received on Facebook. Hi, Ruby. I'm a 32-year-old male. A year ago, I started having a great desire for a woman to peg me. I'm really scared. Never in my life have I felt this desire. I don't want this feeling. I really hope I get an answer from you if there's a way to eliminate this feeling. And why did it start only a year ago? Please, any advice would help. I really think it's hard for me to find someone willing to fulfill my need. That is why I got scared. Any ideas would really help. Thank you very much, and God bless. So that is just the sweetest message, and I can hear how concerned you are and that you are scared. So a few things. I do seem to recall that I'm pretty sure you're in India. And yes, India is not an easy place necessarily to find a partner who will do this. But that doesn't mean that you can't fantasize about it. Typically, this is what I have learned. If you try and eliminate a fantasy, a kink that particularly turns you on, it doesn't disappear. There is no way to eliminate it. It usually comes back with a vengeance after a while. And so having a wish to make it just go away and for you not to feel this way anymore, because it can be so difficult to find a partner to satisfy those needs, I understand that, but it's not going to work. Here is what I would suggest. And again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, but I do know that there is so much pleasure to be had in your ass, okay? So I would advise you to do some self-exploration. Get some decent toys and do some exploration yourself so that you can indulge that fantasy. Ideally, hopefully someday, you would meet someone who would be willing to do this with you. But if you don't, to not explore that amazingly pleasurable part of your body because you're so scared you'll never be able to find anyone to do it with you, so you just want to stop that desire and all of that pleasure before you even start, the pleasure is what I want to point out to you. There is so much pleasure there to be had that I would hate to see you pass that up solely for the reason that you don't think you're going to be able to find a partner to peg you. Why did it start only a year ago? I have no clue. Maybe you saw something. Maybe somebody said something to you. I have no clue at all why it only started a year ago. But I would encourage you to take a deep breath Try not to be scared about this and do a little self-exploration. It's possible, if you do some self-exploration, that you might try, that you might discover there's not really a lot of pleasure to be had there. There are some men who their asses react that way. So that would solve the whole problem out in and of itself. But you know, there isn't any requirement to bring your fantasies to reality. You can fantasize about anything you want, whatever gets you off. There is no requirement that it must step over that line and be something that you actually do in your life. In fact, there are many, many, many fantasies out there that people never realize because they're not something they want to realize. I'll give you an example, a personal example. I have a fantasy of fucking a guy a little bit too hard and a little bit too much with a little bit too big of a toy so that he really is having a hard time accepting it. He's whimpering. It's a little painful. Now, that fantasy is fucking hot, man. It's really hot. But would I do that in real life? Oh, hell no. I wouldn't do that in real life because for two reasons. One is no pain in the anal area. That's a bad thing. When you're doing something hard enough or big enough to cause somebody anal pain, that's bad, bad. Never, never do that. But the other reason is, in reality, I'm the kind of person where if they're not enjoying it too, then I'm not. So even though I have that fantasy in my head, it will never translate out into reality. It's possible that you can find a place inside you where that fantasy will just be there and you'll enjoy it and it'll be a secret that you keep if you can never find a partner to satisfy that. And that's totally okay. We all have those. So I know that may not have been the answer to your fears, but be careful of trying to eliminate a kink or a fantasy that really turns you on. Because in my experience, it always comes back. Best of luck to you. I hope that you discover all kinds of pleasure. And I really hope that you do find a partner to explore this with. Feel free to take one of my free webinars. I've had people from all over the world take my webinars. I've had people from India take my webinars. So if you would like to learn about how to do this safely, drop into one of my webinars at any time. And when someday you find a partner and you want to tell them about it, listen to podcast number 112, because I recorded that specifically for that situation when you introduce your partner to the idea of pegging and then they can listen to that podcast. I think that that might bring you a lot of reassurance. The other link I'm going to put in my Linkorama is a podcast for you to reassure you that this is all okay. And that particular podcast is called For the Gentleman. I'll put the link in the Linkorama. And what do I mean when I say in the Linkorama? The link that I sent to you telling you that I had read your question on my podcast takes you to my blog. If you scroll down there, you'll see lots of links. Links to articles, links to other podcasts, and also links to equipment. That's what I mean by my Linkorama. Okay, sir, good luck to you. And thank you so much for the question. Okay, here's another message from somebody on Reddit. Hey, Ruby, I just wanted to say thank you for your amazing podcast for the ladies. I've been wanting to tell my wife, 6 months married and 7 years dating, that I would be interested in her pegging me for some time now. It all started when we were on the couch and she was using her little purple vibrating friend on my penis. She started to rub all around my shaft and under my testicles and went a little further down than maybe she expected, and I asked her if she had her vibrator on my butthole. She replied, "I don't know. Does it feel good?" I told her that it did, not wanting to tell her, "Hell yeah, this is what I've been wanting." She asked if I wanted her to put it inside of me. I casually said, "Yeah," instead of, "Please already." Needless to say, it was awesome. We briefly talked about it, but it was never really discussed again until we took a trip recently about 4 hours away, and I figured that would be a great time to tell her how I really feel and exactly what I want. I had previously listened to your podcast directed towards women. I was shocked how informative it was. I found out stuff I hadn't even thought of. After about 2 hours on the road, I worked up the courage finally. I turned down the music and said, "I would like to tell you something, but I'm really nervous about it for fear of judgment. She looked like I was about to tell her I'd cheated on her. I told her it was nothing like that. I said, "Do you remember when you used your vibrator on me earlier this year?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, it felt amazing, and I was wondering if maybe we could kind of expand on that." "How do you mean?" she asked. I replied, "Well, there is this thing called pegging. It's where you would have a harness," this part took me a few seconds to say, "and a dildo." "A dildo?" she says back to me. I say, "Yes." She looks shocked but intrigued. I told her that I had zero interest in a cock that was attached to a man, but rather a fake cock that was attached to her, and that I in no way thought our sex life was boring. Best sex I have ever had with this amazing woman of mine. I asked her if she wouldn't mind listening to a podcast that explains very thoroughly the ins and outs, pun intended, of what pegging is. She sat through the whole thing, listening intently to every word, occasionally glancing at me to see my reaction to certain things. When you finished your podcast, she just kind of smiled at me and said, "Wow, I had no idea." She said that she wasn't against it, but would need to think about it. Her biggest hang-up was that she thinks she would feel incredibly awkward wearing a harness with a dildo on it. I told her I thought she would look incredibly sexy with it on. She told me that she felt much closer to me after I shared this information with her, and proceeded to tell me that she is interested in role-playing and dressing up kind of stuff, which was new to me and I'm totally on board for. So win again for yet another thing to bring into the bedroom. She immediately got on her phone and started looking at harness and dildo combinations. I played dumb as if I hadn't done a ton of previous research on gear. I've looked closely at the spare parts Jacques in both the Tantus Acute and the Fuse Harmony. I've dabbled in solo anal play since college with a suction cup 7-inch by 1.5-inch jelly dildo. You were the first person I have ever told this to. I haven't had a P-spot orgasm yet, but I sure can leak a lot of pre-cum. I feel like I can get there with her since it will be so much more intimate with the person I love, doing what feels amazing to me. So thank you again for what you do. I'm sad that our society has such a negative view on this. I see here on Reddit that a lot of people are concerned on how to tell their significant other, but all it takes is a little courage, a brief explanation, and some Ruby Rider podcast to iron out the details. Hopefully soon we will be on our way to some incredible pegging. Also, if you have any suggestions on any other dildos and lube, it would be greatly appreciated. This was so enjoyable to read. It really, really was. It always warms my heart when I get stories about how couples really click down into the communicating with each other. And yes, how they feel so much closer to each other afterwards. That's the whole point of podcast number 112, which is the one called that I call For the Ladies, is that when you share a part of yourself with your partner that you have previously not shared, felt like you had to hide, whatever, when you open yourself up and share a deeper level of yourself with your partner, it oftentimes results in the two of you feeling a lot closer just from that communication. I'm not even talking about the pegging at this point. Now, this message, sir, you sent to me quite some time ago, and I am hoping that by now you bought whatever equipment you were going to, and you definitely got pegged from your wonderful, sexy wife. I do apologize. It took me so long to get this on the podcast. I forgot it was there, found it again, and here I am reading it online. So now, even though it's anonymous, everybody knows that you played in college with that 7-inch by 1.5-inch dildo. Thank you for sharing that with us. I have all kinds of suggestions about first toys for people, but if you want to take my equipment webinar, that's when you're going to learn a ton about what harnesses are best, what dildos are best. And I also want to give a nod to your wife when she was brave enough to express really clearly she would feel really awkward strapping on a fake cock. This is really common. It is more common than I first realized. Part of the reason this takes me by surprise is because I never felt that way. I was like, "Give me that thing, man. Put it on. I got it, man." Not I got it, I know how to fuck, but I got it. It's on and I love it. So I was actually surprised at some point during this 10-year journey of mine teaching you guys about all this and talking about it and exploring it to find that there were a bunch of women out there who's like, really? Put on a fake cock? Now I know about the femininity thing, but the awkwardness too. The type of person some givers are is that they really want to be good at something. So they research the hell out of it, check it all out, and they want to be good at something when they first try it. That those learning curves are very uncomfortable for them, so that can be a factor too. But many times it's just the, really? I put this on, I'm going to look so freaking awkward, so freaking weird, destroy my femininity, you're just going to laugh at me. And I keep trying to reassure all you potential givers out there that have that concern. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Your guy's going to cream his jeans. He's going to be so excited, first, that you're exploring this with him, and second, that you actually have a strap-on on. You know, that situation he's been fantasizing in his head forever before he had the courage to tell you. Plus, if you take the equipment webinar, there's all kinds of harnesses in there that are so beautiful. So if you pick one that you totally love, this helps. See? It's like, okay, I might feel a little awkward, but this thing, when I put it on, I fucking love it. So there's that option as well. Lube. Definitely lube you want to be trying out if you haven't already. Slickwood Silk. It's a hybrid lube. I believe it is the holy grail of pegging lubes for a couple of reasons. I'm kind of a lube snob, and there are a lot of ingredients in lube that simply don't need to be there. Slickwood is a fantastic company that only puts the good stuff in and none of the bad. So given that that situation exists, to go on about Slickwood Silk, it's a hybrid lube. That means it's got 12% silicone and the rest is water-based. Do not worry that that 12% silicone will harm your toys. Unless you bought that $6 supposedly silicone dildo on Amazon, your toys will be just fine as long as they're 100% silicone toys. There's an article that I wrote about that. I'm going to put a link to two articles in the Linkorama. One will be the link about toxic toys and how to avoid them and what the problems are when you have substandard toys like the $6 dildo on Amazon. The other article is how silicone lube is indeed compatible with silicone toys. I go into detail about that, which I'm not going to do on this podcast. But I am so, so happy for you. Oh my gosh. And if what I put out there in the world helped you along you and your wife's path, I am honored. Thank you so much for the letter. Here's my next one. Ruby, I recently attended your beginner and equipment pegging webinars. I found your presentations to be informative and very helpful. I appreciate how you effectively communicated how a couple can enjoy pegging and also be safe. I learned how both partners can be pleasured in pegging. In the recent Wednesday evening session, there was a brief discussion on BDSM. Please consider expanding the BDSM discussion in a future webinar or podcast. As a beginner, I would appreciate your advice for mutual pleasure and safety. My wife and I, both over 60, recently started light BDSM to add spice to our marriage and sexual adventures. I asked her to spank me. She was reluctant at first and finally agreed. I got down and lay spread eagle on the bed on my stomach. She started with her hand and then a flogger that I gave her. She was very gentle as she did not want to hurt me. I said that she needed to hit me harder. She reached into the closet for a leather belt and gave me what I asked for. I was not sure what was the sexiest thing, the sound of the belt striking my ass or the feeling of my skin as it was struck. When my wife stopped, I looked in the mirror, and I realized I was sore because my ass was red. We immediately had wild and passionate sex, as we were both turned on. I asked that she wear some sexy lingerie next time, a corset, or naked with only a thong. She agreed, and asked that I start to wear thongs more often. I recently bought and modeled a jockstrap. She said she liked it, especially a man with a tight ass. She asked me to lay on our bed and proceeded to strip to a G-string and gave me the whipping I deserved. In our conversation, she admitted she enjoyed the whipping because it turned me on, and the sex afterwards was fantastic. She asked me what was next, and I said I would like her to put a cock cage on me, and after a sound spanking, peg me. She said that she was interested. The key is to go slow and communicate with your partner. I shaved my manhood, ready for the next phase. So you see why I'm anxious for your BDSM insights for beginners, safety, ideas, and technique. Two questions. One, I agree with your observation that general pegging porn is very unrealistic. Personally, I prefer amateur porn, especially couples 50 and over. Any suggestions where to find it? I am going to answer these as I read them. The answer to that question is yes. I have recently discovered a place where you can find that. I have spoken before about Cindy Gallup's website called makelovenotporn.tv. This is a website in which regular people like you and me, who are exhibitionists and enjoy filming themselves, make films of themselves having sex and then put them up, and then other people rent them. They have teasers to tell you what happens during this, like particular sexual activities. But the best thing about it is that they're not perfect bodied, and that there's a realness to it that you never find in porn, because porn is so scripted and so acted. And don't get me wrong, I love porn, but porn is kabuki sex, as I said many, many times. And I borrowed that from Dan Savage to give him credit. So yes, it's a performance. So these films that Cindy Gallup has on Make Love Not Porn, these are real couples having real sex. So she calls it real world sex as opposed to amateur sex, okay? And you can become a member and rent them. And I think it's like $5 to rent. And then you have 3 weeks to watch it as many times as you want. And so these couples not only get the thrill of putting their films up there, but of course they weren't abused or treated badly in the making the film in any way. And she even guarantees that people who put their films up, if something happens and all of a sudden you break up as a couple and you want those films pulled down, absolutely they come down. So I really like the way that she interacts with the people who put the films up. Not to mention, these people are earning money. They're totally earning money, and they're thrilled to be earning money by sharing their sexy films with you. I took advantage of a special offer that she had going on. I don't know if it's still going on or not. It was 60 films for $60. Holy crap. And I have had a lot of fun going through films every once in a while and seeing what's there. The realness of it is heartwarming, it's exciting, and it's so different than porn. And yes, there are absolutely older people in these videos as well. Okay, you guys, I did some homework for you. You'll be excited to know. I definitely did some homework for you. I found the link to that special for 60 films, 60 bucks, right? It absolutely is still working. That will be in the Linkorama. And the other thing I wanted to say about this particular way of watching porn is that it lends itself more to settling in and watching the whole thing, as opposed to sometimes, I know I do this occasionally, if I just want to watch some porn and get off, then I am fast-forwarding to the good parts. I mean, maybe I'm like a bit of a man in that regard, where the joke is that in the hotels, a guy will rent an X-rated movie and he'll watch like 5 minutes of it and then we're done, right? So, what I find with these movies is that they really pull me in with a desire to see the whole thing, a desire to watch all the interactions between the couple. It's much more slow-paced and a slow build. And yes, I can't emphasize enough, it's more real. So yeah, that special is still going on, man. 60 bucks for 60 films. Accidentally, I have to a confession to make. When I was looking for the link for you guys, I thought, well, you know, let's see if it still works. And I hit purchase. Oh my God, they have my credit card on file. So right now, I have 113 credits. I don't know if I said that very clearly because I was laughing so hard. I have 113 credits. Anyway, if this appeals, please go check it out and please give this amazing woman your business. She calls herself sort of like the Facebook of porn. It's not professional porn at all. But it's this wonderful place where real people get to share their sexy times. And other people get to get turned on by them sharing their sexy times. I highly recommend it. Perhaps I'll cross paths with you there, seeing as I have 113 credits now. Oh my goodness. So try that out. Let's see, your second question. You mentioned a web company for sex toys that you have an arrangement. You also mentioned a second that I believe has very good prices. What's the name of the second web company? First of all, the one that I have an arrangement with is enticeme.com, as all of my listeners know. If you really need some good prices, you would do best to shop at shevibe.com. I don't like to give a shout out to my competition, but really they're not my competition. Enticeme will never be able to compete with the low prices of shevibe.com. Absolutely. The people who shop at Enticeme are ones that have disposable income, who love what I put out in the world. And for those of you who are really budget-minded, need those cheap prices, I totally get it. SheVibe, S-H-E-V-I-B-E. They may or may not have what you need or want. They have a lot of stuff, and they are able to discount it heavily because they buy in huge quantities. So before we leave this subject, let me tell you a couple more things that Enticeme can do for you. It's not just, hey, support me. If you buy a toy through Enticeme and you can't figure out how to use it, Tiffany will get on the phone with you and tell you exactly how to use it. If you are really not sure whether to get one toy or the other, clearly you can get on the phone with me. Truly you can. If it's pegging equipment. But anything else, she'll get on the phone with you, ask you a bunch of questions about your sexuality, how you masturbate, how you get off, what you enjoy. And she will know the toy that's best for you. She's kind of a savant in that way. So yes, there is far more over at Enticeme than just support my work. Just wanted to put a little plug in there. Okay, moving on. And third question. I know I said two. Back there, I'm looking at what I copy and paste it in my document here. Does say two questions, but here, number three. I enjoy receiving your monthly email, including surprise picks that I eagerly open. Please occasionally surprise us with your picks. You're a new loyal Patreon member. So you're a patron. Thank you so much. Surprise you with my picks. I know I put a picture in there in one of the emails that I sent out that is a picture of my face because I talked about having my teeth done and all that. And that was fun for you guys. But I don't do naked pics, if that's what you were saying. I just kind of don't. If you really want to see naked pics of me, back in November, I did what's called the Movember fundraiser. And towards the end of the fundraiser, I was really trying hard to get to $1,000. The Movember Foundation helps raise money for awareness of testicular cancer and prostate cancer. But they also do amazing work on men's mental health. And they're tackling that whole issue of the man box and how men are expected to act. And in every way, these expectations that society puts on men are resulting, when all combined, in the statistics that are so sad. About 3/4 of suicides are all men. So I was doing this fundraiser, to not get too far off track here. And at the end of it, they're really good at supporting you through email when you're trying to raise money. And they went, okay, so we're coming down the wire here, the end of November. And you know what? Now is the time to like make a dare. Make a dare like, hey, if you guys get me to this much money, I will do this. And I thought, all right. I have sent pictures of parts of my body to lovers before. Of course I had. I've done my sexting. There's almost never... trying to think if there was ever part of my body and my face. I'm pretty sure I've never done that because I've been really careful about it. But certainly these are pictures that got sent to lovers and they're not on the internet that I know of. However, at this juncture of Movember, really wanting to get to that $1,000, I said, okay, look, if you guys get me to $1,000, I will absolutely put a picture of my tatas up on the internet. So if you go in my blog and you go back to November, you will find at the end of November a blog post with the pictures of my tits, okay? I'm not going to put in the link in the Linkorama. You're just going to have to find that on your own in the blog archives. But thank you for asking about the pics. The pics, if I put them in, are going to be pics of my face. And thank you for asking for that. And this was from Larry. Larry, thank you so much for the letter. I really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate your desire, too, to see porn of people who look like you. I think it's fantastic that you and your wife, who are both over 60, are like having this brand new resurgence into territories never previously explored. And it's so exciting. That's why when I teach my Pegging for Beginners class, one of the first things I have at the top of the list for reasons to explore pegging is sexual exploration. Sexual exploration can be so fun, whether you're a brand new couple together or whether you've been together many, many, many years. Now, as far as me giving you advice on BDSM, that is not my area of expertise. Yes, I could spend time writing something up about BDSM, but really, I want to spend my time talking all about pegging and writing my book and all that kind of stuff. So, the general rules that I can tell you when you do impact play is do some research when she's using that belt and the flogger and things about the safe places to hit people and the places you want to avoid. This is very important to know just from a safety aspect. In general, you don't want to hit in the kidney area. Never, never, okay? The areas that I concentrate on when I am beating someone are their lovely buttocks. Absolutely. That is the focus of my impact play desires. But also, if you picture someone's back, the two triangles that make up sort of their rhomboid area. Oh, I'm slipping into like massage therapy muscle talk. So from the top of their shoulders down in little triangles, so you're not hitting on the spine. And you're hitting mostly in like the wings of your shoulders, that area, those little triangles there. When I am doing that, I actually have a hand on their neck, because if you're swinging a flogger, the fall of the flogger can sometimes make you a little not on target until you really get used to it. But even if you're really used to it, if you're doing things a little faster, and I love to do it to music, I have a hand on the back of their neck so that if that flogger goes a little too far, I don't hit an ear, I don't hit their neck. You understand. I love that she was able to cut loose and beat the crap out of you with the belt. Exactly what you wanted. So the two sources I'm going to send you to for information for BDSM beginners are two books. One is called The Sexually Dominant Woman, an illustrated guide for nervous beginners. Not only does Janet Hardy give you tons of really good information, but she also gives you tons of links to other books and things to read and sources of information that go deeper into the subjects that she touches on. The other is, you know, it's from the very beginning and it still is one of the best books out there, SM101 by Jay Wiseman. And he has a bunch of links in that book as well. That book's been around for a long time. And Jay has a medical background as well. So he's quite careful about all kinds of body danger type stuff, if you will. Things to keep in mind so that while you're having fun, you are also being safe. So I'm going to put the links to those two books up. They will not go to Amazon. They will go to somewhere where you're not giving the richest guy in the world your money. Or whoever is the richest guy in the world, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not a fan of Amazon, can you tell? Nonetheless, those should serve you well as a wonderful place to start. I mean, clearly when I gave you that little bit of information that I just did, yeah, I know a lot about this because I've done it for a while, but I just don't want to take the time to write it all down and relay it. And other people have already done that in a fabulous manner, so yes. But thank you for that desire to hear me explain it. I do appreciate that.
I wish you and your wife the very best with exploring all of these really fun things and the chastity as well. Yes, that is like my fantasies, having a guy in chastity, beating him, and then fucking him. Yep, that would pretty much be it. Okay, thank you, Larry, and thank you for being a patron. Thank you so much. Here is my next letter. Another direct message on Reddit. Goodness, there's so many there. My wife is not into pegging, but I love anal play and enjoy it daily with my morning and lots of times evening showers. What has me a bit concerned is, could daily anal be harmful to my body in some way? I never experience any pain, only pleasure. I only use silicone dildos, so I never use silicone lube. I have used coconut oil and regular water-based lubes before finding J-Lube. That stuff is amazingly slick. I am concerned with the frequency that all that lube left in my rectum could do some damage. Any thoughts on this? Thank you for your time. I have listened to several of your podcasts in the past. The 112 episode is very good and almost had my wife on board, but she backed out, says she just can't handle it for a number of reasons. I just have to enjoy it myself. Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I totally respect that decision to allow your wife to choose and to not get pushy about it and to delve into your own pleasure. So good for you. Now, you don't mention what size of toys you are using, okay? So I'm assuming you kind of sound like you're using just regular size toys. Because if you were using much, much larger toys, that probably would have been something that you included in your description. If you are using toys in the shower a couple of times a day, as long as they are normal size toys, you're totally fine. But I do want to let you know that silicone lube with silicone toys is actually okay. You do need to be careful using silicone lube in the shower because it can get very slippery and it can set you up in a situation where it's easy to slip on a slick surface. So do be very careful of that. Plus, it is a little bit difficult to wash off. Is it a problem it being up inside of you? No, it's absolutely no problem at all. I mean, things are coming out of that orifice all the time, right? So even if you're doing it a couple of times a day, as long as you are still having regular bowel movements, you're not in any pain, and it's only pleasure, you are totally okay. And at this juncture, like I do in my beginning webinars, I would like to give a hearty shout out to the sex advice radio personality, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, fuck you for telling people that if they do a lot of anal sex, they will become fecally incontinent. Yes, if you do a lot of anal sex really frequently with huge toys and push past all the signs of pain of your body not wanting you to go past those boundaries, then you can become fecally incontinent. But not if you're using a regular size toy that's roughly the size of a dick and getting fucked a couple of times a day. No, it's really okay. So I appreciate your concern. It's good that you take care of your body. Also, coconut oil is totally fine. That might be a good thing to use in the shower because it stays pretty slick. The J-Lube is fine. It's really slick as well. And I think that also washes off more easily. So that's a good option. But no, all those things that you mentioned are not horrible things to have up inside of you. And if you use a lot of it, that's still okay. It's all still coming out of your body. So enjoy all that pleasure. Consider some wonderful vibrating butt plugs or something like that that you can do outside of the shower. There are ones, you know, that have remotes. And I'm wondering, too, I mean, I know you said that she's totally not into pegging you, but what would it be like if you guys had PIV, meaning penis and vagina, just at intercourse, and you had a vibrating butt plug in and you handed her the remote? What would that be like? I'm just curious. And if she's so not into doing anything with anything having to do with your butt, I totally respect that. Just had to throw that in there. So enjoy. Good luck to you. And don't forget to look in the Linkorama for that article about why silicone toys and silicone lube are okay. They really are okay together. As long as you're buying good toys. You have now reached the end of part 1 of podcast number 260.